You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Each year, millions of youth and young adults across the country experience some form of homelessness, and that concentration can be felt in California, which is home to the largest unhoused population in the country. The experience of having unstable housing can have lasting impacts on a person's life, from limited education access to poor mental or physical health. However, one local nonprofit has been raising awareness while also providing help to these young, vulnerable members in their community. This evening, they'll be holding a Light Up the Night Mixer event at Weberstown Mall in Stockton. Here to tell us more is Elizabeth Sanchez, the director of the community engagement at Prevail. Good morning, Elizabeth. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Vicky, and thank you for having us here. We're glad to be here.
It is an important topic. I would love to start off with your background and how you got involved with helping, you know, some of the youngest members in our community who are experiencing homelessness.
Well, you know, Prevail was formerly known as Women's Center Youth and Family Services. We were established back in 1969 as one of the main providers of services for victims of domestic abuse, sexual assault, and human trafficking in San Joaquin County. Now, let me mention that even though we are located in San Joaquin County, we take clients and calls from all over California. Therefore, we have a lot of communication with also, you know, Sacramento, Stanislaus, and all the surrounding, even all the way to Fresno, all the surrounding areas. So we started there, right, in 1969, helping victims of family violence. However, unfortunately, you know, when there is a primary victim of family violence in the household, we realized that the kids, the children, were impacted as well. Lasting effects go, you know, through generations. So really, in order to make a real impact in the issue, we decided to join forces with Family and Youth Services, becoming Prevail, Women's Center Youth and Family Services, and expanding all our services to youth at risk and experiencing homelessness or family violence. Therefore, you know, we were able to set up case management, shelters. Today, we not only provide services to victims of domestic abuse, sexual assault, and human trafficking, but also we have a day dropping center where any youth ages 12 to 25 can stop by, super low barrier, no questions asked. We can provide 3 meals a day. We have a shower, washer and dryer, clothing closet, computer lab, charging stations. And then if they are ready to connect with services, we make sure they have that access. We have staff on site, we have clinicians, we have substance abuse counselors. And then we also connect them with two of our shelters. We have two youth shelters. One of them, it's for youth ages 12 to 17. So it's for minors that are at risk running away or, you know, fleeing any form of violence. And then we have another emergency shelter for ages 18 to 25. Called Opportunity House, where they also can apply for our transitional living program. If they are approved, they get to live with us for 22 months. And let me mention that any of our four shelters, we receive any client of any gender and their minor children as well. So it's a pretty neat program. You know, they give the youth the opportunity to get back on their feet and to really have stability as they grow into adulthood. We also have a street outreach team that it's day in and day out in the literally hitting the streets looking for youth that may need our services. So it's, you know, an honor to work for this agency that has grown beyond what we initially thought it was going to be in 1969. And now we're a full agency providing wraparound services for those that need them in moments that are probably at their worst.
Elizabeth, how did you develop a passion for this? I mean, have you been touched with this throughout your life personally? How did you get so involved in helping these members? I mean, you talk about helping people from the ages of 12 to 25 gain some stability.
Yes, for me personally, Vicky, and it's funny that you ask, I actually used to work in radio station back in Tennessee. Being a host at a radio station, I was invited to get involved, you know, as you will understand, with several agencies, nonprofits, and one of them was at that time the YWCA. I got involved with this line of work. And of course, you know, I think that it's really hard to find somebody in this world that has not been touched by any of these factors at a personal level. We all know if it hasn't happened to you, I'm sure it has happened to somebody you know. Family violence, sexual assault, unfortunately, it's still very prevalent in our community, prevalent. And of course, you know, youth impacted by those victimizations have a harder time getting back on their feet. And how can they really experience what, you know, a healthy relationship is when they have never had that role model in their household? So with the personal passion that I have for this topic and then the opportunities that the radio brought to me, I decided to change gears, and here I am 20 years later, still doing this line of work. I always say this line of work, it's not for everyone, but it's so much needed. And once you get your heart into it, there's no going back. And I say that for myself and for all the staff, that amazing staff we have at Prevail.
As you know, Elizabeth, I mean, California has an unhoused population that I believe is record levels. It's the largest in the country. However, it looks differently. It looks differently depending on where you live. If you live in a rural area, if you live through the Central Valley, if you live in an urban or metro area, given that you're a nonprofit, you really help people across multiple counties. I mean, what does homelessness, this issue, what does it look like in your home, in your community, and the people you serve?
Yes, so you know, homelessness, and I should say, you know, November, it's Homeless and Runaway Youth Awareness Month. And when we started this program to really help homeless youth, we had to go through a learning curve, because everybody thinks, you know, homeless youth, they're gonna be in encampments, we're gonna be able to find them. Homelessness for an adult in our area and a youth looks very different. A young kid with a backpack walking down the street at a bus station, you wouldn't think much about it. But that's how a youth that is experiencing housing and instability looks like. They're not in the camps. The camps represent a very high risk for their safety. They can be prey very easily. So we had to learn to really think outside the box and look beyond what your eye sees to identify those youth, finding ways to connect with them. Youth that are experiencing homelessness, maybe that youth that it's couch surfing, sleeping in their cars. You know, if you ask them, are you homeless? They'll say no. But if you take a little bit more time and ask them, where did you name all the places where you've been sleeping in the past 2 weeks, in the past month, you'll come to realize that they are switching places just to stay safe, just to stay afloat. But that doesn't mean that they have stable housing. Just to give you some numbers, in the United States, there's estimated 4.2 million youth between ages of 13 and 25 experiencing homelessness. California alone represented 3,400 calls to that youth national homeless hotline last year. And, you know, in our little niche of the woods here in Prevail in the San Joaquin County, we receive about 150 youth in our shelters. I know that doesn't sound like a large number, but that's youth that, you know, stayed for over a month or even months. So our transitional living program, we cannot have like that high of a rotation because they stay longer with us. But that's a lot of youth. We were able to serve almost 300 youth in our dropping center. Just to give you an idea, those 300 youth represent almost 4,000 meals that we provided. So it's youth that they don't come for one day. They don't just visit us one day. Yes, they are 300, but 300 that we serve through a whole entire year, coming in, showering, getting meals. We were able to find and connect 200, over 200 youth on the streets that needed our services. So this is an ongoing crisis. And in our community, you know, we try to hit as many locations as we can where we know youth gather. And these opportunities just to speak up and share our services are really important to us, because we cannot be at every single place at all times. But somebody in your audience is listening today. Somebody reads a flyer. Somebody sits in a presentation. And that person that can convey our message and connect with those that need the services. So that's why campaigns like these are really important to make an impact on the issue of homelessness, especially for youth.
Yeah, and given that you serve people as young as 12 years old, what is often missing from the conversation? Many people wouldn't think that a 12-year-old would need services like your nonprofit provides, that is a runaway or is experiencing housing instability or even homelessness.
So, you know, when you speak about youth homelessness, I think there's this misconception of, oh, they're behaving bad. They don't want to follow the rules. They're probably involved in substances and parents kick them out. And yes, a portion of the youth experiencing homelessness have that, you know, are in that situation. But the majority of the youth that are running away from home or end up homeless, are running away to stay safe from family violence. It's family dynamics. Adults don't realize that, you know, whatever happens at home, and we think, oh, it's only between me and my partner, or, you know, it's not imp the youth are a different thing. The reality is that the youth feel it and they deal with the consequences. So the second reason why youth in our community are running away or experiencing instability in their housing situation, maybe emotional and verbal abuse. So, you know, sometimes parents, and I get it, right? We're struggling financially. We're working one or two jobs. We're barely making meets end. And then we have this teenager that it's being a teenager. And believe me, I'm a mom of two, okay? So I know firsthand that sometimes it gets hectic. It gets crazy. But I think the lack of coping skills, educating parents how to deal with stressors in our day-to-day life, plus raising youth in this time and date, forces parents to sometimes not be aware of how much damage we can cause with our words, with our example. And youth are in a very vulnerable state when they need that. They need stability. They need to feel loved. Validated, accepted. You know, a large population of LGBTQ plus youth end up in the streets because of who they expressing who they are, and not the family not knowing how to navigate those conversations. So there's a lot, and then also of course, you know, with the economy the way it's going, a lot of youth end up homeless with their parents because they're financially struggling and they end up in a situation where they lose their income, they lose their household, and they are all together living, you know, as a family on the streets. And it can, I think youth homelessness has many faces, but what it's a constant, it's whatever happens once a youth it's living on the streets.
Well, and it's great that your nonprofit exists, you know, because I mean, you even touched upon like sometimes there's like a moral component that's attached to children that are runaways or experiencing housing insecurity, which to me is kind of crazy given that they're children and they're still growing and developing. And, you know, and you laid out what could be happening, you know, at home. You also are participating in an awareness campaign. You mentioned that this month is an awareness month for this. It's called the Green Light Project. What is that about?
Yes, so we are, you know, the campaign, it's a national campaign that it's really intended to highlight these struggles, you know, that homeless youth are experiencing, which may be lack of healthy meals. Therefore, they face like physical and mental struggles on their health. They are unable to graduate school. They face violence on the streets. It's amazing, but one in five runaway youth are victims of human trafficking. And almost 70%, 68% of all youth that have expressed being trafficked or engaged in survival sex state that happened while they were homeless and living on the streets. So the impact, and of course, you know, this triples into substance abuse, early death, and those who make it through that, they have a higher chance of experiencing homelessness as adults. So this campaign, it's intended to shed light in these struggles and how can we help. So the national campaign invites anybody in the community to put a green light bulb in your porch, in your window, businesses. You know, now lights are amazing. You can do anything with batteries, they change colors. So if there's any display window that you can turn green for the month of November, we'll provide you a poster. And it's just a way to open conversations. We are also inviting sports teams, and thank you to the sports teams that have joined, to play a game wearing green shoelaces. Delta College already did two games, their female women's basketball, women's volleyball. This coming Saturday, we're having their men's basketball team wear green shoelaces. We'll be there handing out information, green ribbons. And it's a fun way to really, you know, highlight why green. Green, it's the color for homeless youth. This afternoon, we're having our Light of the Night mixer where we invite people. We'll have pizza, Dutch Bros. Shout out to Dutch Bros. They'll be providing some free drinks to the people attending. We'll have some music, and we'll like turn on little glow sticks to take a picture of everybody attending, just making sure that we light up the night green. Tomorrow, actually, we'll be in Sacramento with three events. We'll be at Oak Park Community Center at 2 o'clock. Then we'll be in Christ Temple Missionary Baptist Church, and at the gas station on Watt and Auburn Boulevard. We'll be there from 3:30 to 6:30, just handing out flyers, information, and shining a light, a green light on youth homelessness.
Elizabeth, thank you so much. You have a lot of events lined up for people to say hi, and also, more importantly, to support you and your nonprofit.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. You can find more information at weshallprevail.org, and hope you some of you can join us.
Elizabeth Sanchez is the Director of Community Engagement at Prevail, which works with at-risk youth experiencing homelessness, not only in San Joaquin County, but surrounding counties as well. Tonight, they're going to be holding the Light Up the Night Mixer. It is happening from 6 to 7 p.m. at Weberstown Mall in Stockton. And as Elizabeth laid out, they have lots of other events happening in the coming days as well. Still ahead, as you're planning your holiday feast, chances are you're going to be thinking about wine. Our wine expert, Rick Cushman, is going to simplify pairings with a focus on what's grown in our backyard. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.